For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I promise you, Yankee fans, we will get to your bitching and your whining and your complaining and your Aaron Boone is an idiot and this lineup stinks and I hate Brian Cashman and why did my mommy and daddy make me a Yankee fan? We will get to all of that, I promise. But I believe sometimes in life, you've got to smell the roses. Sometimes in life, you got to enjoy the positivity. Sometimes in life, you've got to cherish what you just witnessed. So, for my fellow New York Metropolitan fans, stand up! It's our Mardi Gras! Because the New York Mets beat the daylights out of the New York Yankees. And before you tell me, Tiki, but the Yankees aren't any good. What's the big deal? It's just any other game. Blah, blah, blah. The Mets never do this to the New York Yankees.
Well,
never!
The Mets are really good right now.
Yeah, damn right they are.
Since the summer started, let's say June and July, what, a 31-15 over the last 46 games?
That is correct.
They have been unbelievable, led by Francisco Lindor. Lugi, you might be right. He could win the MVP.
He's on his way.
I'm telling you.
Just keep it up.
He's certainly now in the conversation, whereas earlier in the season he was far from it. But, I mean, what makes this exciting for Met fans is that it's also fun. It's not, hey, we're just winning some games here or there. It's been fun to watch it. And so it's engaging. In fact, if I wasn't a Yankee fan, I could see why people would gravitate towards this team. You know, unlike the Yankees, where you're just despondent about X, Y, Z, or, you know, this person. You look at the Mets lineup, and it feels like you can gravitate towards every story that's there, whether it's Lindor's story or Nimmo's story, even Pete's story, which hasn't been spectacular. But
Pete hit a home run yesterday. Was it a big home run?
Of course it was a big home run.
They were losing in the game, and he took Gerrit Cole deep.
100%, his 20th of the year. And then he got surpassed by Francisco Lindor, who he do. Right? But my point is, like, every one of these stories, from Alvarez to Vientos, they all are interesting. Even Tyrone Taylor.
Well, the beautiful thing about Tyrone Taylor, and I'll own when I'm wrong, and I've been wrong a lot the last few days, and I'm okay with that. And I think that's a part of why I'm so ecstatic.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely thought 48 hours ago on this show that the Mets were going to have a tough 2 days against the New York Yankees. And I gave my reasons then. I don't need to repeat it. But I genuinely thought it. It wasn't reverse psychology. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just say something to say something. It's how I genuinely felt as a Met fan. And I think sometimes as a sports fan, when you are so wrong about your team, but in a good way, it feels even better.
Yeah,
I was genuinely stunned. More so yesterday than even the day before. Like, the way they won the day before was a dramatic victory. Certainly the Jake Diekman, Aaron Judge situation was crazy. But I did not think, despite the Mets' success against Gerrit Cole, which they've had, I did not think, especially after the way the game started, Glaber, it's a home run, Cole retires the first eight, I didn't think the Mets would take Gerrit Cole and pour sand on his face, shove him into a locker, throw him on the ground, give him a wedgie, and shove him in a locker.
Well,
I didn't see that happening. I think that kind of stuff made last night for me as a Met fan more satisfying than I could have expected.
Yeah, and I wonder when it's going to flip for the, this is just Met fan. Because there's a lot of...
What do you mean by that?
This is just us playing a bad Yankee team. This is just us having, you know, favorable opponents. At what point does the Met fan truly say, we're actually a good team?
Well, I think most Met fans, I can't speak for everybody, but I am, and maybe it's the delusion of beating the Yankees two in a row. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the fact that they've responded to a little bit of a slump that appeared to be starting with the road struggles against Washington and Pittsburgh, and then mm-hmm. they responded with the big homestand. Maybe it's because they struggled against Miami, and now they responded by winning the final game of that series and then winning two straight against the Yankees. But I look at this Met team, and it has been 2 months of this, and I'm giddy. And I look at this team and say, we are good. That's why what you need to do, Teak, and I love you, and I understand why you said it. It's okay to be wrong. I've been wrong about plenty. I'm admitting it. It is time to retire. It's an evaluation year.
Oh, of course it is.
It's gone, dude.
But it's all,
evaluation completed. Go win.
By the way, I was never wrong about that. That was the reality of what was happening.
You were right in the moment, but on July 25th, the evaluation's over, right?
Oh, I mean, of course it's over now, especially if you have a great series this weekend, a four-game set against the Atlanta Braves, who are, I mean, they're banged up. I mean, Chris Sale has been amazing somehow out of nowhere. He's back again. And I forget the kid at the back of the rotation, the middle of the rotation, who's also really good. He's pitching game four of this series. I forget his name now. But other than that, they're beatable in so many ways. And so if you take three out of four and you're now ahead of the Braves this weekend, like the we're evaluating, we might be okay, and maybe we'll do something because we could make the postseason, that's gone. Right, if you jump the Braves this weekend, the Mets have to say, "Why not us?"
Well,
right, that has to start being the mantra. Well, why not us?
I'll tell you where this has also moved to. When this season started, most Met fans, and again, I understand why you felt this way and where you were coming from, you didn't think this was a playoff team. You looked at this team mainly because of the offseason and said, they're going to win 75 games. They got the worst rotation ever. Why should I believe in the offense? Well, expectations change. And as we sit here 5 days before the trade deadline, as we sit here on July 25th, the New York Mets are in the middle of a wild card race where they could be wild card team number one.
Yep.
They could be wild card team number two. They could be wild card team number three. And look, if they don't play good baseball, they could miss the playoffs entirely. But I think the expectations have greatly changed. They have changed to the point where, as a Met fan, making the playoffs isn't enough. Making the playoffs and winning a round is probably now what we start to think from this team, that we start to believe from this team, because this team has shown us a lot over 2 months. You know, baseball's a weird game, man, and I try to show this to you on air because I believe this. Don't get crazy over 2 weeks. Don't get crazy over 3 weeks. And I've said that for good things and bad things. Mm-hmm. When Lindor was struggling early, back of the baseball card. Even with the Yankees struggles recently, hey, look, they'll be fine. When you're playing well, calm down. Every team gets hot. This team, for 46 games, they're 31-15. That's an enormous sample size. And we've seen it from all different contributors, from Lindor playing like an MVP, to Mark Vientos having a rock-solid year, to getting contributions from guys that maybe you don't expect, like a Jose Iglesias.
Yeah.
They're doing this with a bullpen that is still on life support, and I think they've done enough now for you as a Met fan, maybe not to think they're going to win the World Series, but to think they better be a playoff team, and then once they're in the postseason, whether it's St. Louis, or it's Milwaukee, or it's Atlanta, or it's Pittsburgh, whoever's in the way.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your expectation would be they can beat that team.
Yeah,
and that's
course.
The new expectation. That's why the evaluation days are over. They are a contender in the National League, and they've got more work to do, but they're on their way.
Yeah, I mean, the young brothers, Alex and Danny and Alex, they pitched well yesterday.
I know.
And so, like, do you really need to go make a big move?
No, they need a bullpen arm. Don't start with me.
I'm just telling you.
No, don't tell me you believe in Danny Young.
I don't. I'm just telling you.
Listen, I'm giddy today. I ain't that giddy.
It started to feel like... you're going to do something, I think. But if you don't, are you upset?
Yes, I'm glad you said that, yes. I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
I would be upset because sometimes as a front office, you need to reward a team. Mm. And you need to show your team we believe in you. Now, my expectations over the next 5 days are not for the Mets to do some kind of blockbuster. They're not in on Tarik Skubal, not saying they should be. They're not in on Garrett Crochet, not saying they should be. I like Jazz Chisholm. They may not be in on Jazz Chisholm. But at the bare minimum, what this Met team needs to do, not just for me as a loyal season ticket holder, not just for Tommy as the captain of positivity, but for that locker room, for Brandon Nimmo, for Francisco Lindor, for everybody in that room, is to show them we believe in you and we're going to add the horses you need. And it's obvious what they need. They need multiple arms out of the bullpen. And I'm not saying it's going to be the top of the market. I'm not saying it needs to be Tanner Scott. But there needs to be reinforcement because I do think it's the dangerous game to not add somebody, because what kind of message does that show to your roster?
Yeah, it's also... the argument that if you don't and someone else does, they've gotten better and you haven't.
Sure.
Right? You're either getting better or you're getting worse because nobody sits the same.
The Pittsburgh Pirates are going to get Jazz Chisholm. Write that down. They're going to get better. That's a team you're competing with.
Yeah, and I'm sure Atlanta's going to go get better because Atlanta, who's been sitting in second place in the East for the entirety of the season, are about to lose this because of their injury, so their starting pitcher. I don't know how serious the Fried injury is, but they've already lost the starting pitcher.
Spencer Strider's gone
for the season with UCL, and Acuna's out with an ACL. So they have like all of these issues, but they've still been really good. You know they're going to upgrade, and so the question becomes: is this an arms race or a deadline arms race? Not literally, but because it could get a position player. But is this a deadline's arms race?
No.
That David Stern should be in.
It's not an arms race.
And that's why I'm saying maybe you don't have to do something massive.
No, it's not massive. I agree. I don't think they should do something massive. I don't expect them to do anything massive. I think what they need to do is reinforce their biggest weakness. What the Mets have done to get to this point, 31-15 in their last 46 games, right in the middle of a wild card race. They are right there for wild card spot number one. And that's a big freaking deal. That's a big deal for Steve Cohen because that means at least two, maybe three home games in the postseason at Citi Field.
Right.
So trust me, it's a big deal for everybody. But what they have done is their offense has become a major, major strength.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become a major strength because Brandon Nimmo, until recently, has been Brandon Nimmo. Because Francisco Lindor has been an MVP caliber player. Because Mark Vientos has blossomed into a star. Because J.D. Martinez, despite some recent slumps, has been a rock-solid bat in the middle of the order. Because 1-9, they have a very balanced lineup. The opposite of the Yankees. Not trying to throw shade, just showing the differences. And so their lineup has become their strength. Their defense has been completely cleaned up after getting off to a bad start. And what I would say about their starting pitching, and this is what I needed them to do at the beginning of the season, is just not be awful. Just be average.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it has. Do they walk too many people? Yes. Do they go deep enough in games? No. It's not their strength.
No.
This isn't your father's Mets or my Mets. They're not based on young, amazing starting pitching, but their offense. Their depth of their offense, the never being out of a game, that's the strength of the team. Their weakness is their bullpen, and they need to add an arm or two. But right now, and I promise you, fellow Met fans, I try not to be too giddy on the highs of a season and too low on the bottoms of a season. But after beating the crap out of the New York Yankees in the Bronx, after climbing to within a game and a half of the Atlanta Braves, you need to have your pulse checked if you're not excited as a Mets fan.
Well, I mean, it's it happened quickly because I felt like the Met fan 2 days ago was very ish.
You know why?
Like this series against the Yankees truly turned the emotions of the Met fan.
In a way.
And I wonder if that's a good thing or is that a little bit dangerous?
No, I'll tell you why it's a good thing. Because, at least for me, when the Mets had their incredible run to get back to relevance, mm-hmm. the thing I said to you guys was, okay, this is the most important part. What are you going to do now? Mm-hmm. You're not going to continue to play 600 baseball, so what's next? And the Mets had their first little pebble in the road. Sean brought it up. Couldn't stop talking about it. And that pebble in the road was a concert, right?
Yeah, but that was nonsense.
No, but
that was Sean being a troll.
But you know what, Teak? It wasn't fully Sean being a troll because there were plenty of Met fans who feared that that concert on a Friday night.
It's a concert. It has nothing to do with anything.
But, Teak, they responded by losing the final two games to Houston, by splitting with the Nationals, by splitting with the Pirates, and there was a concern of, uh-oh, this is supposed to be the soft part of the schedule. What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And the first response that I thought was really important was what they did on that homestand. They beat the crap out of the Nationals. They won 2 out of 3 against Colorado, and there was this, okay, they're stabilizing. Then they come out of the All-Star break against the garbage Miami Marlins. And let's face it, they were lucky to get a split.
Right.
And that was concern level number two. So coming into this series against the Yankees, there was a fear, at least from me, of, oh, God, all that winning is about to go for naught.
Right, but it's
and they responded the way they did.
Yeah, because now after the post-All-Star break, they've won 4 of 6. They're 600 baseball
That's
again.
That's right.
At post-All-Star break. And so, to me, the Met fan has to pick they have to pick a stretch that they're going to judge their emotions on. Is it a series? Is it a 10-game stretch? Mm-hmm. Is it a month stretch or two-week stretch? Whatever it is,
yeah.
You're in danger of riding a roller coaster, an emotional roller coaster, because of how things go or don't go.
No, it's the opposite of that. The stretch I look at is the response to what appears to be the beginning of falling down. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Astros felt like, uh-oh, this is the beginning of falling down, and they responded. Splitting against Miami on the road, again, felt like the beginning of falling down, and they responded. Like, if you look at the Mets' record since the OMG concert, it's not like it's 600 baseball, but they've solidified, and they've responded. And one thing about this Met core that has scared a lot of people is that what are they going to do when the pressure is on the line? I brought that up to you a month ago.
Yep.
What's going to happen when now the pressure is on? And one of the early returns I've seen that really excites me is they've responded. That win 2 nights ago at Yankee Stadium, that win even a day earlier in Miami, those were big, important wins. What they did last night to Gerrit Cole, oh my God.
Yeah, but
they shoved him in a locker.
Well, they don't fear him, clearly.
They own him.
I know.
Some may say they're his daddy. So that's what matters. Now, look.
I can't go there.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. You can go there. If the Yankees were Pedro's daddy, then trust me, the Mets are Gerrit Cole's daddy. But that's fine. That's the past. The Yankees don't matter to the Mets anymore. You're right about the importance of tonight and the importance of this weekend. But what I now have as a Met fan, and what I think every Met fan should have, is something you didn't have, at least most of you didn't, in March, February, April, and May. And that's belief. Mm. Because they've earned it.
Yeah.
Sometimes belief shouldn't just be handed to you because you want it to be true. It needs to be earned. And this Met team has earned it.
You know what, Evan? You brought up the concert, and everybody in the No Fun Police, Sean Marash included, they like to keep score. Well, I like to keep score, too. And the scoreboard says Mets 4, Yankees 0. And, Evan, you'll like this one. Survey says 1 more for the good guys.
Yes, indeed.
Ooh.
And you know why that matters? And I know, Tiki, this isn't gonna move you, but it's very important to say to every single Met fan out there, the New York Mets don't do this to the New York Yankees. In fact, only one time in the history of the Subway Series did the Mets ever sweep the New York Yankees. And let me tell you a story about that season. This season sucked. The team sucked. The Mets won 4 straight games against the Yankees in, I think it was mid to late May of 2013.
No one remembers 2013. In fact, the only thing I remember about those four wins against the Yankees was that I got dumped in the middle of it. Now, it turned out to be the best thing ever because I went on to meet my wife, and I'm very, very happy.
I'm a loser.
But that's what I remember from that sweep. And here's the thing about that sweep. You knew, Met fans, that that sweep meant nothing. You want to know why? When the Mets swept the Yankees in 2013, they pulled to within 8 games of .500. You knew they weren't any good.
Yeah.
You knew it was a fart in the wind. This feels different. And for all the angst that I write about in my Mets Bible on sale now, I dropped something, and all the many times that the Yankees humbled us, defeated us, embarrassed us, gave us a wedgie over the last 2 days. And look, we will talk plenty of fair and balanced Yankee baseball a little bit later on. So please don't take this personal. But for these 2 days, we kicked your asses, we embarrassed you, and I'm not used to that. Lugie's not used to that. This isn't our world. So Met fans, with class, let's have class. Let's enjoy the fact that we just lost our beat the Yankees ass virginity. We never do it. We never beat them. We never shove them on the ground. We never force Sean to tweet out, Yankee fans, be kind. Just remember, we suck. We never do that. Mm-hmm. So for Met fans out there and for Yankee fans, please understand this is being said with respect. We're just so excited because we did it for the first time.
You know what, Evan? You're classy. I'm not. This isn't the 90s anymore. You were big brother then. Now you're little brother, Yankee fans. Go fetch me a sandwich. I'm the future. The Mets are the present. And you are the past.
Mm.
Sleep tight.
Well, you never know. But here's the thing.
It's all in front of you.
This is the I can't predict that. Here's what the truth is.
Go ahead.
And this is really all that matters.
Yes.
The Mets have better players than the Yankees.
Yeah.
They just do.
Say it again, except say it louder.
The Mets have better players than the Yankees.
Can you say it sexier now?
The Mets have better players than the Yankees.
Let's go, Mets!
It's just a fact. Now, the Yankees might have the two best players.
Yeah, they do.
But the Mets have better players than the Yankees.
Now,
so the fact that they win, they should.
So to the Yankee fan out there, I promise you, there's a lot to talk about today, including the evolution of Aaron Boone getting angry last night. Also, more on the lineup change that Boone has to make and what the Yankees can do to fix it. I promise we will not ignore the New York Yankees. But at the start of this show, in a city and a radio station that only talks about negativity, today we celebrate the positivity for 35% of our town. The New York Mets just whipped that ass.
Let's go, Mets.
We'll get to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. We'll also talk some football as this show rolls on, and we'll get you set for what is a big night at Citi Field, and hopefully there'll be a lot of people there as the New York Mets take on the Atlanta Braves for the beginning of a huge four-game series. I was debating this in my head last night as a happy New York Mets fan. We were in the building for game one of this series, which was a great game. Far and away the best game of the four Subway Series games in terms of excitement, in terms of drama, in terms of atmosphere. It was an incredibly close game. We all remember the ending. Aaron Judge against Jake Diekman, followed by Ben Rice. And obviously yesterday was what they call in the trade an ass-whooping. And the Mets just beat the daylights out of the Yankees. And I was going back and forth in my head. Because I was at three of the four Subway Series games, the two in Queens, and then the first one in this series. Would I rather have been at last night's game, where it's a party, where you are just having a party and there's no drama? Or would you rather have the satisfaction of winning a tight, pressurized game?
I think for you.
For me. See how well Tiki knows me.
Yes, for you. Because of your attention to detail, to the little notes that you take in your scorebook, to the drama that is in your pen writing on a piece of paper, you would rather have been at the one you were at.
Okay. I think he's dead wrong.
No, he's 100% right on that.
100%.
Because the enjoyment yesterday as Yankee fans are halfway home on the Southern State Parkway in the eighth inning because they all, you know, tucked their tail between their legs.
They're done.
Exactly.
They left.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Knowing the Mets won, the answer is the first game because getting to walk out of that building with sad Yankee fans, Sean Morash being one of them, and the exhilaration of a close win is euphoric. It's like sex. But it was stressful. Like, I had a massive stomach ache for the last three innings of that game.
Right, but isn't the ending worth it?
Yeah, probably. Just like, yes!
Yes. Whereas last night you would have been like, yeah.
Oh, no. You don't know me then. Last night would have been, I put my feet up like I'm Brian Daboll. For those who watched that Hard Knocks, you know. I show disrespect, and I'm like, yeah! And I'm burping, and I'm farting, and I'm taking over the building. And there is something satisfying to that. And then watching Lindor go deep again and, like, just piling it on as a fan. Like, there is something extra special about that.
You know what? This is crazy. And I say that before I even say this. I'm not saying this was 2004 all over again. But someone on this radio station once said, and some people think I sound like him. What was it? Boston in the South Bronx, huh? You say something funny, Mike. Good to be here. Last night was Queens in the South Bronx as we were dancing all to ourselves in that stadium.
You know what it reminds me of? And obviously I wasn't there last night, but that description you lay out, Loogie, the first ever Subway Series game. The one all the way back at the beginning where the Mets won the game 6-0. Dave Malicki pitched the shutout. And what was so magical about that was when the game ended, it was only Met fans.
Yeah.
And there was something really unique and special about being in a rivals building. Even though the Yankees are their rivals, I guess they are. In another person's building, and you've completely taken over. And that's where a lot of this excitement comes from for us as Met fans. As I try to explain that to Sean, who has a resting bitch face right now. You okay?
I'm pumped up. Tiki, you see these seeds Daniel Jones is throwing?
Yeah, I got threats now, bitches.
Let's go, we're back.
Does that mean you saw the death of a season in your eyes last night?
No. Talk to me Tuesday.
Yeah.
Talk to me? Okay.
Yeah, let's get this
I'm next. Teetering. Put it this way. I've ironed the suit.
Wow. We'll get to the Yankees coming up right at 3 o'clock, including Aaron Boone breaking down at his post-game press conference last night. But I do think it's fair to hear from the fellow Giddy Met fans after they sweep the New York Yankees for just the second time in the history of the Subway Series. 888-808-1019. Let's lead it off with Joe in Island Park. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Big fan of the show.
Appreciate it. What's up?
Two quick comments. I was honestly, I want to say a hater, but I didn't expect this emergence of Mark Vientos this year. I mean, this guy's basically coming to his own, and I don't know, maybe it's J.D. Martinez. I saw something that J.D. Martinez was telling him he was swinging too hard or something like that, and maybe that's a big help having a guy like that that's just been a pure hitter his whole career around the league.
Yeah.
And, I'll let you comment on that.
I was going to say, you know what I think we all screwed up on with Mark Vientos? All of us. Because I think to varying
automatically
degrees...
Automatically putting him behind Brett Beatty in our minds and on our depth charts, maybe?
I think that's step one, absolutely. And I think it's also...
But also, Beatty's now raking in the minors right now, too.
But
again.
He's always been raked. He's always raked in the minors.
Yeah, look, Beatty still has a lot to prove. But I think what we didn't give Mark Vientos credit for is that he never got an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, Buck Showalter, for whatever reason, hated his guts, didn't like him. And even the Mets as an organization, they never really believed in him. And late last year, when nobody was watching, which I understand, Mark Vientos started to show a little bit of a pulse when he started to play every day. I'm not telling you he was the rock star that he is now that Loogie describes him as, but I'm saying that there was something there, and everyone chose to ignore it.
Yeah.
And we chose to ignore it because...
We didn't care.
We didn't care, and when we saw him play, we were so unimpressed. But what was so unfair to that, is that he barely played. He only had 233 plate appearances, and we're making that judgment on him. And so I think a part of what was unfair to Mark Vientos and is unfair to a lot of young players, Teak, is they're never given an opportunity. He finally got it. He forced his way to get it, by the way. It's not like David Stearns handed it to him, and now he's taking advantage.
Well, he did force his way, but it was also a lot of ineffectiveness by Brett Beatty, right? It was, what is Brett? Do we really trust him? Not defensively, because he's been fine defensively, but his bat was just so cold.
Right.
You just... Let's try. It was like, we're in an evaluation year. Let's evaluate this kid and see what he's made of. And he came up and he's done nothing but exceed, I think, anybody's expectations.
But think about this, though, Teague. You're right.
Which forced him to make a decision that you got to believe nobody wanted to see happen.
No, you're right about that, that Brett Beatty's failures opened up the opportunity. But you know what really impressed me about Mark Vientos, now looking at this as he blossoms? He should have been on this team out of spring training.
Mm-hmm.
I yelled about that on the air. David Stearns disagreed. They called him up in late April, and he was given 7 plate appearances.
Yeah.
And he went 4-for-7 with a game-winning home run, and they sent him back down.
True.
And guess what Mark Vientos did? He went back down to AAA, and he continued to rake. And then 2 weeks later, they brought him back up again. And he raked again. And then combining that with what you described in Beatty's struggles, he became the clear lock everyday third baseman. But I think where we failed and the Mets failed him, specifically Buck Showalter, who used to talk crap about Mark Vientos, which I still don't know why, is that he was not given an opportunity. And let this be a lesson for young players on the Yankees. Let this be a lesson for future young players on the Mets. Can we not rush to judge a young player just because of our first impression?
Yeah. I mean, you can't judge them because sometimes these young players just don't know what it takes, right? You got to give them time. It's I'm trying to think of I guess the perfect example would be Volpe with the Yankees. Early on, I was saying this kid might not have it.
But they ran him out there every day.
Send him back down. Just give him some time in the minors and then bring him back up. They just left him.
They left him up there.
And he figured it out.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to do that. And often, too often, there's a veteran option that helps the team win better now. And so you stick with that guy. But for the Mets, with Vientos, it never made sense to me because it was also another young option.
Mm.
And so it was like, why disadvantage yourself or disadvantage Vientos simply because you believe without having any facts that Beatty's going to be better?
Right.
That's why it was frustrating for Vientos.
Let's go to Vinny in Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. Good. What's up, man?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up? Go ahead.
Hello?
All right. I guess you don't hear us. I apologize. We'll put you on hold. I feel bad. Let's go to Damien in St. James. What's up, Damien?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How's everything?
You're good, man.
Good. Before I get to my point, I wanted to burst Sean's bubble about his love of vanilla.
Okay. Where does that come from?
Do you know where vanilla extract comes from?
This was yesterday.
It's from the anal glands of beavers.
Yeah, so what's wrong with liking the anal glands of a beaver?
Yeah, so he loves sucking on that anal gland of a beaver.
Okay, I mean, if an anal gland of a beaver tastes like Mr. Softy Vanilla, then I will suck an anal gland of a beaver any day.
Damien, I got to agree. I got to agree with Sean. Like, if something's good, I don't even give a rat's ass where it's from.
If elephant's testicles tasted like Chili's ribs, then by all means, give me them baby backs.
Damien, you ever had Chili's? You know what that is, right?
Oh, yeah. what I wanted to get to was I thought yesterday was a beautiful example of like a picture the game as like a travel brochure for Juan Soto to go to City Field. that's what it felt like to me. Everyone's having fun. They're blasting the ball. Everyone's stressed on the Yankees. And, you know, I just felt like a Perillo travel brochure.
You know what it was? And I think a lot of you guys will appreciate that I can make this analogy. I think Loogie will actually appreciate that I'm going to show enough poise to make this analogy because I really want to be fair. And there's no negativity coming out of my mouth other than a comparison of something from February of this past year. And for Knicks fans out there, you're welcome. This reminds me of something Josh Hart said about Mikal Bridges. You like that one?
Yeah.
When Josh Hart, after the Knicks had just destroyed the Nets, and Mikal Bridges was like, oh my God, nobody in my building likes me. What the hell's going on? Josh Hart said, Mikal Bridges is like Squidward in SpongeBob. And Squidward is the guy that looks over jealously at everyone else having fun.
Okay.
And I admit that that obviously bothered me at the time. Turned out to be prophetic, right? Because yep. Mikal Bridges is now a Knick. And so last night, as the Mets are dancing and they're singing OMG and they're having a good time and the Yankees are getting embarrassed, I looked at Juan Soto and I said, boy, that
That brilliant Josh Hart, he was onto something. Juan Soto reminds me of Squidward in the SpongeBob meme. He's jealous.
No,
he wants
not.
To come over and have fun.
He's going to make $550 million next year. He's not jealous. He's going to care as long as he's getting paid.
The Mets and their fans are having a lot of fun. The Yankees
know,
and their fans
aren't. He's not jealous. He's a mercenary.
Who doesn't like fun, Teak?
You know what? Of course he likes fun, but he's had some fun with the Yankees earlier this season just because it hasn't happened in the Subway Series.
Not recently.
Just because it hasn't happened in the Subway Series.
Let me ask you a question.
Doesn't mean that he's not excited about what's happening in the future.
That's fine.
What's all in front of them for the Yankees.
Yeah, it's all right. We'll get to that later. I want you to close your eyes for a second.
Yes.
And if you don't mind, Loogie, could you pop up some mood music? And that mood music, I think, let's just randomly think of a song. How about the hit single, Oh My God? I want you to imagine Juan Soto singing and dancing to this. You can see it, can't you?
The Soto Shuffle!
I mean, can you all in your car imagine the happiest guy in baseball this side of Lindor, Juan Soto, dancing and enjoying himself to the number one hit single in America?
Yeah, I can actually.
OMG.
And you know what, Ev? You brought up the Knicks. And of course, through the power of friendship, the Knicks will win the NBA title. You can mark that down. You know who's buddies with Juan Soto and works out with him in the offseason? Mr. Francisco Alvarez.
Oh, I know.
So the power of friendship there as well.
Listen, Juan Soto wanted to stop the game last night and just hug Francisco Alvarez. I mean, all they were doing was flirting with each other last night. It was a beautiful thing.
Blink twice if you need us, and we'll come rescue you.
Yeah, so for anyone who's a Mets-Knicks fan, you probably appreciate that analogy. If you are a Yankees-Knicks fan, you feel confused. And if you're a Nets-Yankees fan, well, what can I tell you?
Sorry.
Sorry about that. But yes, it's all good fun, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure Juan Soto's having a brilliant time losing in the Bronx right now. I don't think he's thinking at all about singing OMG. And great job by Jose Iglesias explaining to us last night where OMG came from. And it was very, honestly, jokes aside, it was very, very powerful because I love this country. And I'm lucky enough that I was born in this country, so I'm American through and through. But I can only imagine, especially someone who grew up in Cuba, the way Jose Iglesias did, the excitement as he was crossing the Canadian border, because that's when I'd use the word escape. I would. When you're living in that regime, you're damn right you escaped. The OMG that Jose described, if you saw it on the broadcast last night, was him coming to America, was him immigrating here, was him coming across the border. And his story is interesting. So he was playing on the Cuban national team. They were in Canada. And a lot of young Cuban players have a choice at that point.
Yeah.
And that is, they want to escape.
Defect or go home.
Defect or go home. And Jose Iglesias made a decision that obviously he loves. Think about that song. And that was the excitement of coming to the land of opportunity. There is a reason why people will give up anything to come to this country. Because it's the greatest country in the world. And I think the story of that and the story of immigration, because I guess my grandparents or great-grandparents were immigrants at some point. Like, that hit me when Jose told that story. OMG is a powerful meaning. It is not about slapping asses.
No, far from it. And he also turned a really sweet double play as he was being interviewed, and he's obviously brilliant defensively, and then sang into the camera. Jose Iglesias is the heart and soul of this team.
He's
all jokes aside,
the most fun of any Met right
on
now.
On and off the field, it's been unbelievable.
He's still hitting, 380?
Yeah, I know. You know what I would do right now?
You keep saying it's not sustainable, but damn, he's not going to play enough for it to truly come all the way down, but I mean, his batting average has been ridiculous.
He's the Mariano Duncan of the 1996 Yankees. As David Cohn said last night, play today, we win today. I would give Iglesias a 3-year contract extension right now if I'm David Stearns. I'm not even kidding. I wouldn't even mess around. Here it is. 3 years, $9.7 million. Oh, yeah. OMG. I was singing it all last night. Let's go to Vinny in Staten Island. Vinny.
Guys, how you doing?
What's up, good, man?
So, Evan, it was funny you brought up that analogy with the Knicks, because I was going to say, in that analogy, Francisco Alvarez has to be the Josh Hart, because they look like they can't wait to play every time Soto steps up to the plate.
Francisco Alvarez has a lot of friends, that's for damn sure. I know he was training with Salvador Perez during the offseason, but him and Juan Soto apparently are close. Yeah, Francisco's like the mayor behind the plate as the catcher for the Mets. He's also got some OG Anunoby in him. Whenever he plays, the Mets win. So he's got the OG thing going, too.
Yeah, it was funny because after Tuesday, being a Met fan, I heard every excuse from Yankee fans. The lineup, the not pitching, the judge. Well, they have to realize we've seen J.D. Davis, and that guy stinks. So I'll pitch to him every single at-bat we can. But then last night to go out and completely destroy that guy, that crybaby that they call an ace, made it even better.
Yes. I think what is impressive about it and makes it better and is sweeter is that the New York Met offense, and they've done this a lot this season, Tiki, have beaten up really, really good starting
pitchers.
They've
done it for a while.
Yes.
Basically going back to the beginning of the turn.
Yes.
At the end of May.
Dylan Cease on a Sunday. Yeah. Remember when they pounded him, and he's had a hell of a season.
I feel like I read an article about a month or so into this current streak that the Mets have been on, saying it doesn't matter who the elite starting pitcher is, they're up for those games.
They have been really good against good starting pitchers. And I think what was impressive about what they did to Cole last night is that Gerrit Cole had put together back-to-back dominant Cy Young caliber starts against Baltimore and Tampa Bay. And I think the assumption was, well, Gerrit Cole's back. And if you're a Yankee fan, you're ecstatic about that. And the New York Mets, and trailing in this game too, when Gleyber hit that home run early off Sean Manaea, which caused a lot of angst in our Mets text chat, they responded by hitting three home runs off of him and tagging him for 6 runs in 5 2/3 innings. So I think to beat Gerrit Cole as it looks like he's turning his season around in a big moment for the Yankees, and again, another example of beating up a really good starting pitcher, makes it very sweet.
And could have been more damage, but Soto made an unbelievable catch.
Unbelievable catch? Not really.
It was an okay
catch. He misread the ball. Made up for it, made an easy catch look a lot harder than
it
is.
Can we not rip Juan Soto too much?
Continue, Tommy. No. Matter of fact, I'm going to send
Juan Soto is a top five player in baseball. He has the best eye in baseball. He is elite. He is not good defensively.
Okay. That's fine, but why are we saying that right now? Is there a reason?
Because you guys said something that was inaccurate, that he made a great catch.
No, I didn't say he made a great catch. Sean May said he made a great catch.
Thought it was a great catch.
First of all, why are we arguing about a stupid catch in the second inning of this game?
Right. I was trying to give the Mets more credit that it could have been more damage.
I thought we were here to argue, but aren't.
Argue about that?
Yeah, why not? We're here to argue sports. Sports talk, guys.
You argue when you want to argue about real stuff, not about a fly ball to right field in a game in which the Mets kicked the Yankees' ass on if it was a good catch or a bad catch or a mediocre catch. Nobody cares.
Right. The future of WFN does not need fake arguments. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. We got to shut their mics off, Tiki.
I hear you.
Let's go to Charlie.
I don't know what they're talking about. Right.
Me neither. Charlie in Brooklyn. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. How are you?
We're good. What's up, dude?
What's up?
Yeah, first of all, Tiki, lifelong Giant fan, and, it's a pleasure to be able to speak to you.
Appreciate you, dude.
And, Evan, Lugie calls himself the future of the station. Well, you're the present, so, take it.
Right.
Generational talent.
But, yeah, I'd like to just make a point, on the overall picture of the Mets season. So, about 2 months ago, a caller called up the station, and this was his question. He said his wife is a Philadelphia Phillies fan. I don't know if you remember this, Evan. And he said he has a problem because his kids, the Mets, that was when the Mets were 11 games under.
Right.
And his kids, they're starting to, they're getting influenced by his wife. And he asked you for an idea, what should he tell his kids? How should he influence them to be Mets fans? And you told them that losing sucks, but once we come around, the winning tastes so beautiful. And I was just thinking about that. I don't think there was ever a Mets season in my career as a Mets fan that I ever had so much enjoyment as a season right now. Meaning 2015 World Series, 2020, 201 wins. However, the enjoyment of being in the bottom of the league and having such a horrible start, and now the way we're rolling. No, what's your take on the matter?
It's a really interesting point because I'm going to exclude 1969 because I think that is the ultimate winner. But for the Mets to go from basically being awful year after year after year to winning the World Series, they are the miracle Mets. They are the definition of a surprise. But I admit I was minus 14 years old. So we put that always on the pedestal for most satisfying, shocking, incredible championships that maybe this town has ever seen,
right,
let alone dust the Mets. But what's interesting about what he said is when you look at all the other playoff years, just playoff years, Tiki, they all came with expectations. In 86, there were huge expectations. In 88, there were huge expectations.
Before the season started.
Absolutely. And they were also coming off of winning seasons. Yes. The Mets had a near miss in 85. In 1999, there were high expectations.
Yeah, you're taking the next step.
Absolutely.
Like you should.
All of them were next step years.
Mm-hmm.
99 certainly was. 2000 was. 2006 sort of was too. They made great progress in 05. They had a huge offseason a year earlier. And even 2015, because for me, 2015 is the most satisfying season in my Met fandom life. But I remember going into that year, Tiki, even though the bar was low, and I saw it coming. I felt it coming. I felt the emergence of DeGrom, the return of Harvey, Syndergaard's return, Matt's on the way. Like, you felt something really beautiful building with that Met team. So while it was a great surprise that they ended up taking off and winning the division, and it was a great surprise they won the pennant, it wasn't stunning. If the New York Mets not only make the playoffs here, but go on some kind of sustained run outside of 1969, it will be the most stunning that any of us have ever seen. And I would put that over 15 because I just remember as a fan seeing the build coming.
Well,
this was an evaluation reset.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why this one is so stunning, because it didn't, the expectation was low. And I mean, hell, it's maybe just happening that the fans are starting to say, actually, I want to go see these guys play. I'm just talking about from an attendance standpoint. I'll be really interested to see this weekend.
That better be
good. Because this weekend is, it's maybe the inflection point.
Right.
The most important point so far in the season. But when you see a team evolve and build like this one has, this Mets team, obviously a lot of it from afar, because some of these 20,000, 30,000 seats attendees, or less than 30,000 seat attendee games, were frustrating. But I feel like the Met fan saw it, right? You saw it evolve. Mm. And when you see it evolve, and you can almost pinpoint a moment and the players that did it, and they're all kind of likable, it makes you really dive into the team. It really does.
Danny in Manhattan. What's up, Danny?
Hi, how are you?
We're good. What's up?
Good. I really like the first hour of the show. I like your show every day, and this first hour is great.
I'm
a very excited, happy Mets fan, and I love that they beat soundly the Yankees. I mean, I think it's great. I'm very happy and excited. And yes, this Atlantic Series is big, very big. But I wanted to ask you something, Evan.
Yes.
That and I'm looking ahead, and I don't want to be too negative, but I am wondering, these in August, these two West Coast road trips.
Yes.
How did the Mets let that happen, if they have any say? Do you know how that came to be?
Well,
they're losing so many August home games.
Well, let's,
and also,
let me explain to the people, because most people are not looking ahead to the August schedule. I'm sure even Tiki's like, what? What the hell are they doing in August?
What are you talking about?
They have a road trip that was originally supposed to be Anaheim, Colorado, and Seattle. And I think you hear that and you say, well, that's nuts. Like, they're going to go from Southern California to the Mountain Time Zone back up to the Northwest.
Doesn't make any sense.
So it is a very tough road trip in terms of geography. It isn't based on teams. The Angels stink, the Rockies stink, and the Mariners are really, really struggling. But what made it worse is that earlier this season, the Mets and the Cardinals had a rainout. And because of that rainout, they stuck the makeup game in the middle of the trip.
Yes.
So the Mets have a road trip coming up in which they go to Anaheim.
It's funny. I forgot about that game.
Yeah. And that's a huge game because that's actually for the tiebreaker. The Mets and the Cardinals are 3-3 in their season series. Actually, let me correct myself. It's 3-2 Mets. So if they win, they get the tiebreaker. Yeah. If they lose, it'll come down to something else. So it's a huge game. That's a team that they are basically tied with in the wild card race. And so that road trip next week, or in 2 weeks, is Anaheim for 3 days, St. Louis for 1 day, Colorado for 3 days, Seattle for 3 days. I mean, you have to admit that's a little...
That's extreme.
That's extreme.
It is.
But
they'll, I mean,
overcome it.
They're baseball players.
They're baseball players.
They have to be used, especially at that point of the season, they'll be used to traveling for most of the season. But it does kind of suck.
Yes. Oh, no, listen, it's not an easy road trip. Now, we are going to get to the Yankees. We'll mix in some more of your Happy Met calls at 888-808-1019. We will hear how Aaron Boone went from Aaron Boone to angry Aaron Boone over the course of 30 seconds. But before we do that, I do want to make the Yankee fan feel better. I think it's very important. Break the glass. Because we do have some breaking news that I think will bring a smile to the Yankee fans' brains. Are you ready?
Can we wait?
The Baltimore Orioles have blown a 6-0 lead against the Miami Marlins. And they are going to the 10th inning, so we'll see.
The game's not over.
But the Orioles are struggling almost as much as the Yankees.
Stop it.
Stop what?
The Yankees, he doesn't want you to jinx them by announcing it right now.
Jinx what? I'm giving the people the information. But Craig Kimbrell imploded in the ninth inning, and they blew a huge lead.
And this is the sad state of the Yankee fan right now. Instead of, what's wrong with us? We need to fix XYZ. It's, dude, can the Baltimore still also suck?
Yes.
That's what it's come down to.
But you can't make up the loss column. If you can take a day off and get a game on the loss column here with the Orioles, it's a big day.
It's a huge day. That's huge news. So I'm happy to tell you guys that. For whatever reason, the Baltimore Orioles have gone to Miami, and if they don't find a way to salvage this game, they may get swept by the Miami Marlins.
Right.
And if that happens, the New York Yankees would be one game back in the American League East.
Some teams in New York are still alive for their division.
That is true. Though the Mets are 10.5 back. I've been eyeing that for a while now. Phillies are starting to struggle. More of your calls coming up, plus how Aaron Boone got angry last night. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.